Before we get started, let's do our little thing. We did Sunday again. This is all the kings we've had so far. We had some more to it tonight. And Judah, we got Rehoboam, of course, the first one. Abijam, 3 years. Asa, 41 years. Good. Jehoshaphat, 25 years. He's still reigning now where we are. Israel, everybody's bad. Jeroboam, Nadab, 2 years. Baasha, long time. Ela, Zimri, the one little week there, then Amari, and then Ahab, and we've been doing him for a good long while now, and we're going to finish him off tonight and get him out of the way or whatever. So, we'll pop the blanks up here. Pause for 4 seconds. Give everybody time to look at them and think before you pop an answer out. Then we'll see what the answers are of these things. Same ones we had Sunday. All right, who goes in here? Baasha, okay. Baasha's the missing one. Baasha's... So, Jeroboam, Nadab, Baasha for 24 years. All right, he's gone. Got one on the left side missing. Jehoshaphat comes in here. He's going now. We've been going here for a good while. Zimri goes in here. How long did they reign? 1 week. Remember, him a little short one over here. Okay. Second one, after Rehoboam, Abijah or Abijam. You know, wait to pronounce that one, okay? And who's going now over in Israel? Ahab, everybody remembers Ahab. One of the easy ones to get a hold of there. And the very first one, Jeroboam. Left that down. And Asa was, how long? 41 years, good or bad?
Good
for the most part. Had a couple of things, but overall good. And after Zimri for 12 years was Amri, okay. And second one up here, Nadab for 2 years. And then after Baasha's 24, got a little short 2 years in here. Ela, okay, missing that one. And that's it. Okay, that's a quick little review of that. Just get those kings in your mind, be thinking about them, whatever. Okay, tonight, lesson 11, we're in 2 Kings now. Flip over to 2 Kings, chapters 1 and 2. We've got a couple of roughly short, simple stories tonight. Various phases in some of them as we get into the chapter 2 particularly. So, let's figure out what's going on here. We're gone. Okay. All right, let me talk about this minute first. I forgot about this slide up here. All right, here we are now. And Ahab is reigning over here in Israel. His wife's Jezebel. They have 3 children. Ahaziah, Jehoram, and Athaliah. 2 sons and a daughter. We're going to talk about to fit in the picture here. Jehoshaphat's over here now. Okay. Jehoram's his son will be next over here. Not the same Jehoram over here. Different one. And a different Ahaziah over here. Don't start getting confused now. Now here's where it goes. We're going to get Ahaziah tonight. And Jehoram will get him and him tonight. Athaliah, their daughter, marries Jehoram on the other side over here. Jehoshaphat's son. Their son then reigns over here, Ahaziah. Okay. And then Athaliah crosses over here, and we'll figure out how she gets there a little later on, and reigns over in Judah for a while. So this is the same Athaliah. It's a different Ahaziah, a different Jehoram. What's the matter, Paul? Too much, huh? So Jehoram and Ahaziah are different. Athaliah is the same person on both sides of it. That. So let's kind of start getting that confusing stuff in your mind. All right, death of Ahaziah. All right, Ahab, he just died after reigning for 22 years. Ahab and Jezebel, we took like 3 sons to get through that. So Ahab's been reigning for 22 years. We've got all the bad stuff he's done, Naboth and all that. We've been through that. So he's died. Now, for question one, Ahab's dead. Who's the next king? We already talked about this. Ahaziah is the next king, okay? And he's their son. He's going to reign for 2 years. Or has been reigning for 2 years. Now he's fixing to die. So, what happened to him? He fell out of a window, okay? Fell through an upper window and injured himself. Didn't kill him, but he injured himself. So he fell through this upper window and killed him. I mean, and injured himself. Now, what's he do about it? Number 2, where did he send for help? Where are you going to try to get help? Now, I don't know what's going on. What's going to happen to me? So who's he send to? The prophets of Baal, okay? So he sends the prophets of Baal to inquire, would he recover or not? Who's that sound like? Yeah. Like father, like son in this case, right? Sounds just like something Ahab would do. So Who intervenes? Elijah gets in the picture here. Okay. Well, come and stuff not working right here. All right. So Elijah gets in the picture. So what was the message that he had for? Don't read the screen a minute. What was the message he had for? I put the clip one time. They come up with the time. They all jumped up here. What's the message he had for Ahaziah? You're not going to recover. But what did he ask him first? Why did you send those prophets over there? Is there no God in Israel? God, capital G, that you can inquire of? Why are you sending the Baal here? Find out about this. And so he told him then, you shall not come down from your bed, but you've gone, you shall surely die.
Okay.
Now, that's the message he sends back. He hasn't gone to Ahaziah yet. He just sends that message back to him. Now, when he gets back, just want to do that, kind of messes things up a little bit. When he does that, who does Ahaziah know who the message is from? He knows it's from Elijah, okay? So he sends for Elijah to come. Now, how does he send for him? Who's he send for him? A captain with 50 men. What does that captain do? Goes and, that's the proper word, goes and tells him, okay, that he's going to come. And apparently a very irreverent, disrespectful way for who Elijah is, okay? So what's Elijah do? Calls down fire from heaven and burns up the whole 50 of them. So, yeah, we're down on question number 4, somewhere along there, okay? So he sent this captain that ordered Elijah to come. Elijah responded with fire from heaven and devoured him. He sent another captain with 50 more men. And what was his attitude when he got there? Same one. He didn't learn much in the first round. What happened to him? Same thing. It's a short class, I told you. It just repeats itself here. Okay. So same thing. The order to come to the king. Elijah called down fire. Now, this third captain comes. Don't read my chart a minute. What am I going to say about this third guy? He's a little smarter than the first two. He learned his lesson from those other two. So what did he do? How did he approach Elijah? Much more respect, humble, the word you used up here. Because who? Wait, why would he do this? Why should he have done it the first time?
He knows what's happening.
But who is he? Who are they going to? The prophet, right, yes. They're going to the prophet of God, okay? And he's delivering a message to God to Ahaziah that Ahaziah didn't like. He sent for him to come up here. And instead of going and ordering to come, he goes in this much more humble, reverent, respectful manner for who Elijah is. That's the point there. So now Elijah goes to him without worried about, you're coming to the king, I'm going to cut your head off type thing, you know. Being fearful type thing. He goes with this third captain back to Ahaziah. And he's also shown this. He's speaking of the Lord. Nobody else would just call down fire from heaven and consume 50 men. Obviously, God's involved in here. So now he goes and in person delivers the message. Same message he had the first time. So we're in question number 5 down there. What message did Elijah deliver to Ahaziah? What's the same message that he sent back the first time when the messengers came? That, well, why did you not inquire of God about this to start with? Why did you send those prophets of Baal? And the bottom line is, you're not going to get better. You're going to die. Okay? So, he dies like he said he would. Well, this is fast, and if they pop up here for you automatically, you just go out on foot in a hurry. He dies just like God said he would. And Ahaziah, here's the point. Ahaziah had no son. Normally it's father, son, father, son. So we can't go down to father, son, reign. He had none. So who's the next king going to be?
His brother.
His brother, Jehoram. Back to the first slide. Ahab and Jezebel had 3 children. We're going to come into play here. Ahaziah, which we just talked about. Jehoram was a brother now to Ahaziah, son of Ahab and Jezebel. He's going to be king. And Jehoshaphat, of course, he's still king over in Judah. I haven't messed with him yet. He's still, while this is going on. Now, I think it's a lesson thing to pop up here or not. But what do you get from this? What do you get from this lesson so far? This is what I popped up here. Now, what do you gain? Look at this. It's a simple, simple little chapter about this story about this king, sending us to the prophets and whatever.
Other thing too is you would get today. That here's where you find the answer, right here.
Yep.
Not somewhere else, not some man book, or so you want to inquire about something, you want to know about something, you know God.
And did what God said happened happen? Just like it says it's gonna happen? It did. Okay. Now, there's a phrase here. I'm going to get Charles on the spot over here. There's a phrase here about, is there no God in Israel that you could inquire of Him about this, inquire of His Word? We talked about this some a couple of classes back about inquiring of God about things. And Charles and I had some interesting conversation about this, and I'm going to kind of get him to talk here a minute about this. But cadence you read about, and I brought David up to illustration. David inquired the Lord over and over and over. Many times we talked about that. Talked about an interesting point about when would you inquire the Lord and when would you not, or when was there no need to? But you kind of pick up on that and talk about that a minute. You know where I'm coming with all this, right?
Inquire for it in that sense. God had already revealed him. What should I come and go with thee, or what should I do in a matter where the Lord had not spoken? That's Sheba, what should it? He told him what to do. So it's in this area of that are hidden, things that are under the thumb and was used, where something was unknown and a man faithful. If the matter was determined by what are the bitters, that determined whether she would. Those were things that were not revealed. It's of David, those things, his personal well-being as king.
And we had it a couple of weeks ago. What was the situation we had in class here about inquiring whether or not to go to the battle, right? What, could you go read that in the end of the quote-unquote Bible? I mean, could God spoke about should you go to this battle or not? No. I mean, the only way you know that is to go, as Charles said, you've got to inquire about that. But there are other things that God's already revealed to them. And if He's revealed that to them, the only way you can inquire then if they go, quote, look it up. I mean, go to find out what's already been revealed, if it's already there. The law. Moses already given the law. Ain't need to inquire about that? No. It's already there. Okay? And then as Albert said a while ago, we've got all we need to inquire of right here. I mean, the written word is there for us. And so it's a distinction there that we were in the discussion coming up about when you would inquire the Lord, what type matters, versus what matters you would not, because God's will has already been revealed to them. Fair distinction? I'm going to get it that right there. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, God has spoken.
Yeah.
And He continues to go back to God until He answers.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And now there's something at the Bible, but they still...
But maybe you'll change your mind, right? Yeah. Over and over and over again. And what did he finally do in that case? What did God finally tell him in that case? You're going to ignore what I told you already. Just go suffer the consequences.
Right.
Okay. Anything else about that? Moving to chapter 2 here. Sure. Sure.
God could have relented.
Hezekiah turned the wall and asked for and got 15 more years.
A couple of things about Elijah's answer here. One of the things that impressed me what he says is that
One more point for you. What did we just study a week ago about Micaiah? What did he say about this going to battle and returning? Right. If you live to see me again, then what I told you is not from God. Okay. Same thing. I'm a man of God. If it doesn't come to pass, I'm not a man of God. Okay. Go ahead.
And the other thing is the location that God gives us.
Okay. We're going to get into chapter 2 now, and this is basically the story of Elisha replacing Elijah. So just kind of get an overview. A couple of places to get our mind here. Here's Jerusalem, the top of the Dead Sea, as that is. Up here in Israel, this is the center section of the land here. Up in Israel, Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, Samaria up here, not Ebal and Gerizim. And Gilgal over here next to the river. And Jericho and Bethel. We're going to talk about these right through here. Quite a bit this next little section here. Gilgal, Jericho, Bethel. Now, Mount Carmel's going to come into play. It's way to the north up here. Off the top left part of the screen up here. So, we're down to question number 7, looks like now. We'll pick up in chapter 2. Talk about it a little bit. So, Elisha to Elijah. I'm going to ask the question first. Then we'll look at the charts up here. What did Elisha ask from Elijah? What did Elisha ask of Elijah? Well, back a little. I'm a little farther in the story here. Let me go through the get there. There were reports. That's why I was getting. I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. God's about to take Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind. Okay. Elijah tells Elisha to stay there in Gilgal now while he goes to Bethel. And Elisha refuses. I will not leave you. He knows the end of Elijah's time is about over. He's his mentor. He's one he's so close to. Okay. And the, one of the commentaries I was reading, almost think about Paul and Timothy or something like this. The relationship there, there's just that tight thing there. So, the sons of the prophets, these are disciples of the prophets, the ones who listen to them, come and tell Elisha about what's about to happen. Does Elisha know what's about to happen? Yeah, he does already. But it's kind of, we are sometimes. I know it's coming, but I ain't going to talk about it. Okay? And just don't talk about that. So he's not talking about it. So now, this time, he says, they come from Gilgal to Bethel. Now he says, stay here while I go to Jericho. Again, what's Elisha telling him? Now, I'm not going to leave you. Okay? So the prophets come to Elijah at Jericho. Well, they tell him again. Same thing. Here's what's about to happen. What's Elisha saying? Nah, don't talk about it, okay? Just to put out my mind a little bit. So, then he, because there was a portion coming. Now he asks him, what can I do before you're taken away? I'm going to back off that now. So what he's telling him? I want, like to have, what? A double portion of your spirit, okay? Now, where else in the Old Testament do you read about double portion type situations?
Firstborn,
okay, the firstborn son. So, Elisha is putting himself now, thinking about him being the son in faith, or we will call it, of Elijah, and he's asking for that firstborn, that birthright type situation, okay? At least that's the commentators someone come up with that I was talking, thinking about. And I think it makes some sense. I want that double portion of your blessing that could come to your children. I mean, he was like his son. They've been tutoring him and mentoring him all along here. So he asked this double portion of it. And what does Elijah tell him then? That's a hard thing. You've asked something very difficult. And I'm not sure why it was difficult. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know the answer to that. But he says, you've asked for a very difficult thing. But he tell him, no, you're not going to get it? They tell him, yes, you are going to get it? And then tell me, okay. So, let's see what we're out here. That's a double portion of Elijah's spirit. That's a very hard thing. Then they're separated by chariot of fire. Chariot of fire and horses. And I've got to just flat confess to you, I read something about this I really want to talk about tonight. That's what I want to know about them. Man, I don't know what it was, and I'll tell them what it was. So, there was something significant that I was reading about this chariot that somebody likened it to. And I thought it was worth mentioning, but I'm sorry, I just forgot it. So, you might go look that up. It's kind of an interesting point sometimes. So, what happens to Elijah then? He's taken up what? He's up into heaven. This chariot of fire comes through and separates the two of them. Elijah is taken up into heaven in this whirlwind. So the chariot of fire separates him, the whirlwind actually takes him up into heaven. What if your Elijah sitting there? Now how you feel? It's like the father son situation. He's lost. And any of us will be too. If we've been with this old gentleman all this time, learning from him, and seeing what he had done, all of a sudden he's gone. Yeah, you knew it was coming. Got to put it out of your mind. And now he's gone. You're left there. It reminds me of Christ's ascension and the apostles just standing there. Now, did they know what was going to happen? Yeah, they had instructions on what to do, but you still have quite a loss sitting there. Okay. So he's taken up into heaven in the whirlwind. That's question number 8.
Is that actually in conversation?
Yes. Yep. Gone. Yep. So he cries out and is taken away. And then what falls from Elijah to Elisha? What falls physically? What did you get? It's mantle. You know, it's there for him. Okay. And he picks up this mantle that the old prophet has left there. And walks back to the Jordan. Now, what had just happened? They came across the Jordan. How did they get across the Jordan? Elijah took the mantle and struck the water. Now, if you're Elisha and you're walking back up to that water and you've got that mantle, you've asked for this double portion of the Spirit, what are you going to do? What did he do?
He tried it out.
What happened? Wait a minute. Look at it. Or did I look at it wrong? What did he have? When he hit it the first, did he strike the water the first time? And I may have looked at it. I may have something that's in my mind I'm thinking about here. The little portion went back to the banks. He took the mantle, struck the water. And when he had also struck the water, maybe I read it as being two times. Maybe it's not talking about two. I took it at first. I read it. He struck it. And he spoke, makes us speak, comments. And he actually struck it again. Maybe it's just repeating the fact he had struck it there. But I don't know. Okay, maybe he didn't. Maybe I misread it there. But okay, he struck it, and what happened to the water then? That's the key thing. It parted. Okay. Now, how would you feel now? Yes. Yes. Okay. Such, and I don't think a relief is the right word, but just that confidence then that you can go on and do your job there as he goes on to do it. All right, now we get into a couple little stories about Elisha. We get kind of his life here. There's two of them coming up here. By the way, one little comment at the end down here on this thing. The sons of prophet want to do what? What do they want to do? Go look for Elijah. Elijah. What did Elisha know? You're wasting your time, folks, okay? What do you tell them to do now? You're going to go look. How long did they look?
3 days.
3 days, I think it was, wasn't it? They find him? Nope. Sorry. So that's he goes on into Jericho. They say Gilgal. Apparently he's come back across the Jordan. Goes up to Jericho. And what's the situation? What happened in Jericho? Well, I got a problem. What is it? The bad water there. And it's not just the water's tasting bad. What's it causing? Barren land. I mean, it's not just that we can't drink the water because it's got a bad taste or something. It's actually like it's not producing crops or something around there type thing. So it's a very, very serious situation. So what does he do to water to make it better?
Bowl of
salt. Now wait a minute. What would it want to have if you put salt in water? Not a very good mixture, right? You don't want to drink salty water. And yet what happened to this water when he put the salt in? It was healed. That's the word. It was healed. Okay. I'm not sure exactly what the play on words there is, but this water was healed of its impurity there. Now, I can think of a nice little jump off for a lesson there of the salt healing and ye are the salt of the earth. Go out and do your thing. I mean, it's a lot of little takeoffs you can do off of that. What's that thing there? So where did I get to? Wrong button. Okay, no more death or barrenness after he had healed or purified this water with this salt he put into it. All right, there's one more little story here about Elisha. He's walking along on the way to Bethel. Now he's gone from Gilgal up to Jericho, went up to Bethel now. Kind of going to the north, west, northwest, I guess. And these youths come out. These young people come out. And what do they say to him? Trevor? Me and Trevor can just like this story. That's right. The lies that you have a bad hair day, right? Go up, you bald head. They're mocking him. They're mocking him. And so he puts a curse on them in the what? In the name of the Lord, okay. It's a serious situation. And he goes on and what happens? He's 42. What happens to him? Two bears come out of the woods there and maul them, kill them. Now, I read one story that was an interesting thing, that these boys had probably been out in the woods messing with the cubs of these bears. Okay? And had them really stirred up. And had run out the road there and happened to see Elisha going by. And by the time he got this curse, the bear had caught up with them after defending their cubs. You know, that's what happened to get this thing on. That was a kind of spin off folklore. One of the commentators said it goes around with this story type thing. Okay, enough said about. Yeah, in the meantime, he placed a curse on them because he knew the bears were coming, right? Come on, folks. Okay. So they mauled them there, and Elisha then went up to Mount Carmel and then to Samaria. So here's how the way the travels are going to go. I guess they'll all pop here at the same time. Gilgal to Bethel, back to Jericho. They're across to Gilgal. That's when, of course, when Elisha's with him, before he leaves. He comes back to Gilgal, up to Jericho, Gilgal to Jericho, then to Bethel, then to Mount Carmel, and then back down to Samaria. And when they're here, the Jordan is when Elijah's taken up, and Elisha takes over them. Yes, sir. Use, but maybe the New King James got use for something like something that's where I got mine. Yes, I'm use is what New King James has got. Yeah. Yeah, they're not 6 and 7 year old kids, you know. No. They'll know better. Which I think where my last little point get up here. The lesson down here, yeah, is that it is sheer disrespect. For an older person, a man of God, any way you want to apply it. Yes, sir. The same problem as I have.
Yes.
Yeah. Watch your back. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Paul, 42
of the brothers there.
What happened? Okay. Anything else? Sure.
After this miracle,
there is no more barrenness after this. It's healed. Literally, that standpoint. Okay, went through that. Okay, anything else about this? We got a couple minutes left here. Yes, sir.
The way of Elijah, I think another good lesson is what we see about the character of God and what he appreciates and what he respects. Is the first human coming? No respect, no appreciation or value for the man of God, for God's word. Fire comes down on him. Man, this judgment. Then you have the man that's humble, respectful, and God values that.
Okay, we have a little something different here for a few minutes. We have started with 1 Kings chapter what? Where we start this whole thing? Anybody remember? What's the story of Rehoboam start?
12.
About 12, okay. Flip back to chapter 12. You were the 1 Kings. And we'll take a couple of minutes here and do something a little bit different. Just turned off. I'm finished with this. All right, 1 Kings chapter 12. What I'd like you to do, this is a lot of teachers in this class, they teach the next quarter. And we're looking for lessons that you can use to, not only for ourselves, but for these teachers to teach, and you may be teaching your children later on or what. So I'd like you to sit here and just flip through, and let's just go through these chapters kind of one at a time. Some of you might find any main points in, but look through these chapters. We've already been through, the stories will be familiar to you. Pick me out, and don't manufacture something. Don't dig down and find something that's not there. Find me a lesson. Find me a lesson from 1 Kings chapter 12 that could be used if you were teaching a class, teaching your children, teaching from that chapter. What's in 1 Kings chapter 12? Story of Rehoboam. Good.
Good leader, they'll follow you.
Good leader, they'll follow you. Okay.
I think the biggest lesson is, especially for young people, always listen to your peers. Go to someone that's older and wiser and learn from their mistakes.
Yeah. Heeding bad advice. A very, very obvious lesson from this chapter. That, if you think back, that was Rehoboam's first downfall. Very first downfall was the advice he listened to. That's a very clear, obvious lesson from this chapter. You're going to have choices to make. People are going to tell you things in life, and you got to make a choice what you listen to. And just a bad advice, it can lead you some very, very wrong ways. Okay? And there's another one in here that's maybe a little less, but what did Jeroboam set up from the worship? The golden calf, okay? Which totally threw out God's plan for worship, right? I set up the golden calf. And he even says why he did it. So he won't go back and worship. And he said, these are the gods that did what? These are gods that brought you out of Israel. So he's substituting what appears to be, he tried to make it look at their appearance, of a true, a good thing, but it was totally opposite of what God wanted. Okay?
Talks about he divides in his own heart.
We
know more than God knows.
Yep. We start. Man's ways are not God's ways. Okay.
We're getting a bit ahead of you, but go to the comparable chapter in 2 Chronicles. You have where the Israel flee. Where the faithful in Israel flee. God, Jeroboam and Israel, the way that they're going to be less men. Faithful is there, thinking out.
stay with it. Okay. Yeah, you got to let him come on to side beside. Yeah. I just separate him for this little exercise here. But yes. All right. February 13. What's in chapter 13? Scan down through there and get the story back in your mind right quick. And yeah, believing in lies. Others tell you lies and you're going to believe the lies. I mean, it's at one point too. I mean, this is the prophet, the old prophet, the young prophet type situation there. The old prophet, I may be getting off different ones you got there, but the old prophet told wrong. And who died? The young prophet, the one who believed the lie. Okay. So you got preachers in the pulpits all over this country telling you what? Telling you lies. I mean, really, if you compare it to God's word, this is truth and this has got to be a what? Lie. Now, if you believe the lie that appears to be the truth, appears to be from God, where they present it, who's going to answer for it? But he made his choice. Persuaded by the older prophet? I don't know. But believing lies there. And then down in verse 33, you've got a total mockery of worship. What did Jeroboam do? Look at verse 33 there in chapter 13. Please from every class. Okay. And then look at the last part of the verse. What did he say about himself? He also served in the priestly functions. But this is a total abandonment of worship the way God had done it. Okay. 14. What's the reward for doing evil? What comes out of this chapter? Anybody, you see that? I didn't write the verse down, so I got the comment down here about it. Look at verse 10. 9 and 10 through there. You have done more evil than all those of you before you. You have gone, made yourself gods and more than this. Therefore, I will bring disaster on you. Now, his disaster was real in that lifetime. Where's ours? We don't get the fire from heaven to strike the 50 prophets when they come to us, right? The prophet and the captain, I mean the 50 men. But is disaster coming? We do wrong? No doubt about it. And also in this chapter is a lesson. We have a choice. And God wants us to choose Him. Wants us to choose what's right. 15, I'll give you one quickie right quick. We'll get out of this and stop this here in a minute. But 15's got a very strong point about Asa's loyal heart. Asa had a loyal heart. That's what he served God with. 41 years, good king. Remember that? How did he do that? He had his heart right to start with. Asa had his heart right. His loyal service to God was based on that heart there. And we get a couple more here. Chapter 16, but down in verse 34. Remember what the story is there? The rebuilding of the city of Jericho. What happened when the foundation was laid? Our first son died. Joseph, what happened when the gates were hung? Youngest son died. I mean, what did God say about it? That's exactly what's going to happen. Okay? And you see that, what we've had on the board here tonight. You see it over and over through this stuff. What God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. You might as well get ready to believe it. It's going to happen. Jeff and I met for lunch yesterday. We're working on the summer classes for the high school and college group. And we're looking at lessons from Genesis. I mean, I haven't hung in on it yet, but kind of centered on that. And one of the lessons is going to be based on Genesis chapter 1 and God said. Why could God say what He said in chapter 1 of Genesis? Who is He?
God.
He's God, okay? That's a lesson all of us need to learn. And God said these things happened. And they happened because of who He is. Now, what's the rest of all those chapters in the Bible past Genesis chapter 1? Any different than them about what God said? Still, God's the one same one sent them. Okay, I don't know how much I enjoyed that tonight. I got some more notes. We'll pick it up later. But I thought it interesting to just go back and look through these chapters and tell you. We know the stories already. Now you can look for the things there that we can learn from them. And these teachers are going to need that as they start taking these classes. All right, thank you. Thank you.